Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, The Paul Thomas Anderson Jukebox. Yeah, we've done a handful of episodes on our show, concentrating on the way directors use pre-existing songs as tools in movies, and today it is Paul Thomas Anderson's turn. I was thinking especially of a few sublime needle drop cues in Anderson's Oscar-winning film, One Battle After Another. And while he has often employed the superb composer Johnny Greenwood to create the proper orchestral scores of his films, including some great ones that don't really lend themselves to our show today, like There Will Be Blood and Phantom Thread, the director has a nice ear for how a song clicks on a soundtrack. So we're going to hear some of those. We're going to talk a little bit about why these tunes work so well, either adding a particular punch to a specific moment or just creating mood. Then at the end of the show, for the trailer, we'll pick a pop song that emerges out of a dramatic scene performed by one of the actors. Paul Thomas Anderson was born in Los Angeles in 1970. Did you know that he is the son of a sort of locally famous late-night horror movie host and disc jockey in Cleveland, who called himself Goulardi? Maybe having a DJ for a dad influenced Anderson's musical taste, but given his age, maybe it's no surprise that he has returned to the music of the 60s and 70s. Throughout his career, movies like Boogie Nights and Licorice Pizza are to his credit after all, and we're going to listen to some disco-flavored tunes from those films. We will also hear Anderson's penchant for eccentric curiosities. We begin our tour with his second feature film, Boogie Nights, from 1997, a film set in the porn industry of the 70s, starring a very kooky cast led by Mark Wahlberg as a gifted protege of a notorious porno director played by Burt Reynolds. Lots of disco in this one, but I have to single out this one sequence that has virtually the entire cast doing a coordinated Saturday Night Fever-style dance, which I can attest captures accurately some of the vibe of being on a dance floor in the late 1970s. The scene is cut to the Commodores song Machine Gun, which we will groove to now. We'll be right back. That is Machine Gun, performed by the Commodores from their first album, written by Milan Williams, a song that provides memorable accompaniment for a dance sequence in Boogie Nights, especially when John C. Reilly and Mark Wahlberg, two dim-witted stars of the porn industry, share center stage. We mentioned that great cast in the movie. It includes Julianne Moore, Don Cheadle, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and in the midst of this, Heather Graham plays a porn starlet named Roller Girl, whose gimmick is roller skates. This gave Paul Thomas Anderson an excuse to include the song Brand New Key by Melanie to accompany Roller Girl, and you'll know why when you hear the lyrics.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night. I roller skated to your door at daylight. It almost seems like you're avoiding me. I'm okay alone, but you got something I need. Well, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. I think that we should get together and try them out, you see. I've been looking around a while. You got something for me.
That, of course, is Brand New Key, written and performed by Melanie, a wonderful artist. She's the one who did Look What They've Done to My Song, Ma, who had a hit with that song in 1971. It fits very amusingly in the film Boogie Nights. That movie opens with a delirious sequence in a nightclub. We get to meet most of the main players as the song Best of My Love by The Emotions plays. And in case you're wondering about the song Boogie Nights, the song itself, it does not appear in the film. And allegedly, that's because the founder of the group that did it, Heatwave, did not approve of the setting of the story in the porn industry and refused to license the tune. Nevertheless, it is a great title for a wild movie. Paul Thomas Anderson has perhaps never been more ambitious than in his next film, the three-hour opus known as Magnolia, which stitches together the lives of many characters in the San Fernando Valley. It was widely admired. I got nominated for 3 Academy Awards, including one for Tom Cruise's uncharacteristic supporting performance. And maybe someday I will watch this movie again and I will change my opinion. But at the time, gotta say, Magnolia struck me as the kind of misfire that only a very talented director can make, if you know what I mean. When the film came out in 1999, I wrote, "Anyone interested in the future of American movies should see it, but Magnolia feels overlong, indulgent, and generally in over its head." Well, one part of the movie really works, and that is the soundtrack of songs by Amy Mann, a singer-songwriter that Paul Thomas Anderson has long admired. In fact, he said he had her songs in his head while he was writing the movie. One original song written for the film, Save Me, garnered an Oscar nomination, and I think its intelligent, thoughtful, lilting quality somehow makes it fit the PTA universe. That was Save Me, written and performed by Amy Mann, which was Oscar nominated for Best Original Song from the film Magnolia. And in case you're curious, the winner that year was a song by Phil Collins from the animated Tarzan movie. So I think something went wrong. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. We're playing songs from Paul Thomas Anderson films. In 2002, PTA, if I may call him that, released one of my favorite films of his. In fact, it's kind of one of my favorite films of the century, Punch Drunk Love, a beautifully weird romance. It has a fascinating original score by John Bryan, and just a few pre-existing songs that are included, but one of them I think is an all-timer for this subject, and it captures the silly, ditzy, well, punch-drunk mood of the movie. The song is He Needs Me, originally written for the movie musical Popeye, which Robert Altman directed in 1980, and Paul Thomas Anderson, a big Altman fan, so that connection makes sense. The Popeye songs were written by Harry Nilsson, a very talented, somewhat self-destructive artist, and He Needs Me is sung on that soundtrack by Shelley Duvall, who plays Olive Oil. Of course she does. It lives in its own happy way in Punch Drunk Love 2, in a movie in which the extremely awkward character, played by Adam Sandler, impulsively decides to fly to Hawaii to track down a woman who might be as eccentric as he is, played by Emily Watson. This movie plays under that scene, and if you love movies and music, I think it's impossible not to be enchanted by this sequence.
And all at once I knew at once, I knew. Someone needed me.
The song He Needs Me, written by Harry Nilsson and performed by Shelley Duvall, used in a particularly enchanting way in the film Punch Drunk Love. The director, Paul Thomas Anderson, turned from that delightful movie to the much more foreboding There Will Be Blood, and then The Master, which don't rely so much on songs, so we're going to pass by those. Oh, we might stop by one of them later. In favor of the 2014 film Inherent Vice, which returns us to the past, for an adaptation of Thomas Pynchon's novel set in 1970, which is about the somewhat Lebowski-like antics of a private eye in L.A. played by Joaquin Phoenix. It's a movie that doesn't quite come together for me, but the soundtrack sure has a lot of great selections, both familiar and obscure. Here's one that goes past in a scene with Josh Brolin's cop in an Asian restaurant. This gives me an excuse to play a song that I've always loved, and it comes from the limited subcategory of tunes that have topped the U.S. charts in a language other than English. That's right, it is Sukiyaki, a hit for Kayu Sakamoto in America in 1963, and after we hear its plaintive strains, I'm going to mention the sad ending for that Japanese pop star. From the soundtrack of Inherent Vice, that is Sukiyaki, the number one smash written by Hachidai Nakamura and Rokusuki Ai for the Japanese pop star Kayu Sakamoto. Yeah, there haven't been many number one songs in the U.S. in foreign languages, but 1963, actually a very good year for that. There was Sukiyaki, the title of which has nothing to do with the song, it's just there for the marketing. And also one of my all-time songs I can't get out of my head, Dominica by the Singing Nun. As for Kayu Sakamoto, had a nice career, and he died in a plane crash In 1985, the 747 he was traveling in crashed in Japan, the largest loss of life in any aviation accident. Well, another of the many atmospheric tunes in Inherent Vice is Les Fleurs by Minnie Riperton, and this one works on a couple of levels for Paul Thomas Anderson movies. One is that it's from a 1970 album, and that fits the time very well. But another is that Minnie Riperton was the mother of Maya Rudolph, the Saturday Night Live comedian who happens to be married to Paul Thomas Anderson. Let us have a listen to that.
Somebody wear me to the fair? Will a lady pin me in her hair? Will a child find me by a stream? Love and joy, faith and hope to people who know inside every man lives the seed of life. If he looks within, he finds beauty and power.
That song is Les Fleurs, written by Charles Stepney and Richard Rudolph. That is Maya Rudolph's father, by the way, and sung by Minnie Riperton. Lovely piece of pop music and part of the mosaic of songs in Inherent Vice. You're listening to The Music and the Movies, and we are playing songs from Paul Thomas Anderson films. Okay, well, there is some pre-existing music in Anderson's next film, Phantom Thread, but it's really not that kind of movie, so we will rush ahead to a film I really dig, Licorice Pizza, his 2021 reminiscence about the 70s, and there is a lot to choose from here on the soundtrack, but let's opt for a song that plays during an early sequence when an earnest high schooler, played by Cooper Hoffman, that is Philip Seymour Hoffman's son, meets and begins courting the woman of his dreams, played by Alana Hayem. By the way, Anderson has directed a number of music videos for Alana and her two sisters in their band, Hayem. Or is it Hayem? I think it might be. The song dates from 1965. It's a track by Nina Simone called July Tree, and it just hits a lovely note for this ingratiating movie.
True love seed in the autumn ground. True love seed in the autumn ground. When will it be found? True love deep in the winter white snow. True love deep in the winter white snow. How long will it take to grow? You know true love buds in the April air, the April air. Was there a bud so fair? True love blooms for the world to see. True love blooms for the world to see. Blooms home. For the world to see. True love blooms for the world to see. Blooms high upon the July tree.
The song is July Tree, written by Irma Jurist and Eve Merriam, sung by Nina Simone, which sets a wonderful tone in an early scene in Licorice Pizza. One of the things movies can do is make you hear songs you know in a new way. And I think this was true of another cut from the Licorice Pizza soundtrack, Diamond Girl by Seals and Crofts. When I was in high school, I disdained the soft rock sounds of Seals and Crofts. But something like this, set in the nostalgic collection of tunes, just sort of catches the ear. And there are chord changes in this song that I think really hit. Why don't you see what you think?
never find another one like you. Part of me is deep down inside you. Can't you feel the whole world is turning? We are real and we are burning.
That is Diamond Girl, a big 70s hit for Seals and Crofts. Love the sound of those bongos in there. That is written by Jim Seals and Dash Crofts. And if you're in the right mood, you kind of can feel the whole world turning there. That's a song used in Licorice Pizza, a dazzling comedy that's hard to pin down. In my review, I said, let's note that in many ways, it's just as weird as Phantom Thread or The Master. Funnier, though, there's something unusual and even radical about this movie, just as there is with much of Anderson's work. It might be unfolding in a few moments of someone's memory, even though it feels like it sprawls across the early 1970s. Which brings us to PTA's most recent film as we record this, 2025's Best Picture Oscar winner, one battle after another. A distinctively wild and bizarre movie, which boasts an excellent Johnny Greenwood score. But the song choices are also terrific. The film has a long prologue. It is set 16 years before the subsequent action. And in this first section, we meet some of the principals in a story about activists who use violence to achieve their goals and then go underground. This transition between sections, when we find Leonardo DiCaprio's burnt-out, pot-addled former radical in the present day, comes to us as Dirty Work by Steely Dan floats by on the soundtrack. And it's kind of perfect in the way that the character seems to be waking up sort of bleary and Rip Van Winkle-like for the next part of the film. And the song also kind of catches some of that bleariness. And besides, that character probably would be listening to Steely Dan at this moment.
To do your dirty work, oh yeah. work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work, oh yeah.
Light the candle, put the lock upon the door. You have sent the maid home early, like a thousand times before.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work, oh yeah. I don't wanna do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work, oh yeah.
That is Dirty Work, written by Donald Fagen and Walter Becker from the first Steely Dan album, Can't Buy a Thrill. That was before Fagen was doing all the singing, as you could hear. That song pops up in one battle after another as we transition from one era to another. And although it doesn't come from either of those eras, I think it's 1972. Minting sort of recalls a time of actual radical activism in the U.S., maybe an indication of Leonardo DiCaprio's character and his disinclination to do dirty work anymore. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are playing songs from Paul Thomas Anderson films. You might recall that DiCaprio's former partner's name is Perfidia Beverly Hills, so why not have a scene in which the classic pop song Perfidia plays, which happens just after a crazy car chase that serves as the climax, and you get the reappearance of Sean Penn's cartoonishly rigid colonel, almost turned into a monster at this point who seems indestructible, but not quite. The song, composed in 1939 and performed here by Los Panchos, has this really swooning quality that sits kind of oddly with the drama on screen, but this movie careens from satire to drama to slapstick, so why not?
Nadie comprende lo que sufro yo. Canto, pues ya no puedo sollozar. Solo, temblando de ansiedad estoy. Todos me miran y se van. Pregúntale si yo alguna vez he dejado de adorar. Alma, espejo de mi corazón, las veces que me ha visto llorar la perfidia de buscado por doquiera que yo voy y no te puedo hallar. ¿Para qué quiero otros besos si tus labios no me quieren ya besar? Y tú, ¿quién sabe por dónde andarás? ¿Quién sabe qué aventura tendrás? ¡Qué lejos estás de mí! He buscado por doquiera que yo voy y no te puedo hallar. ¿Para qué quiero otros besos si tus labios no me quieren ya besar? Y tú, ¿quién sabe por dónde andarás? ¿Quién sabe qué aventura tendrás? ¡Qué lejos estás de mí! ¡De mí!
One of the great pop melodies there from the classic song Perfidia by the Mexican composer Alberto Dominguez. It's performed by Los Panchos there. Heard in a weird, giddy moment in one battle after another. When it comes to this film recalling a previous era of activism, Paul Thomas Anderson makes things clear by using that anthem of the Vietnam years, "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised" by Gil Scott-Heron, in the closing credits. And somehow the litany of Nixon-related issues that fly by sort of works for this movie, which, after all, is about the way that nothing is ever really in the past.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Classic there, and some of the lyrics from that song actually make it into the dialogue of the movie we've been watching, one battle after another. That is, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, written and performed by Gil Scott-Heron. And you hear it in one battle after another as though to collapse time periods and remind us of how the movie's issues and absurdities are universal. All right, there's the trailer music, and that tells us it's time for something offbeat. And our track here is an outlier compared to what we've been listening to. Not exactly a pre-existing cut, but a standard song included in the action of The Master. I think it's okay to say that as much as I do dig P.T. Anderson's films, I have to admit there are things about them that I sometimes find baffling, including much of the second half of The Master. But somehow the film builds to this scene in which the truly wretched protagonist, played by Joaquin Phoenix, is sitting there with a spiritual guru of some quasi-religion that sort of sounds like Scientology, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman, and the master begins to sing. We're not sure exactly why he sings or whether there's specific import to the song choice, but here is Philip Seymour Hoffman making it work.
Love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms evermore. Leave all your lovers a-weeping on a faraway shore. Way out on the briny with the moon big and shiny, melting your heart of stone. I want to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone.
A scene from The Master, and if you have seen that film, you remember the intensity of that moment. The song is Slow Boat to China by the great Frank Lesser, sung with enigmatic purpose by Philip Seymour Hoffman. That is our take on the jukebox songs from Paul Thomas Anderson movies, and I hope along the way we've been able to catch some of what is unique about this filmmaker's work, because he really has a good ear along with everything else. Better than my voice, which I seem to have lost in the course of recording this show. We're going to close out with a rare one included on the Licorice Pizza soundtrack. This is a Mason Williams instrumental version of Greensleeves. My name's Robert Horton, and I thank you for listening to the music and the movies.